This being the first Sunday of Lent, this is the traditional Bible reading. It's Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 4th chapter. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. It is Lent, the season of honesty, and in our church, brutal honesty. If we say we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, and we are not deceivers. Lent is the season to come to grips with problems, and there's no greater problem than evil. Evil. Where does it come from? Who is responsible for evil? Why do good people, innocent people, godly people suffer evil? Evil is one of those topics that I'm always asked about. So we begin the season of Lent with this Bible reading, the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil, who is the incarnation of evil. Jesus begins his ministry surrounded by evil and temptation, but he was always surrounded by evil and temptation, and so are we. During Lent, I'm providing a sermon series on evil, and today we begin at the beginning, and I want to just admit right up front, this is longer than usual. This is a long sermon today, and I know that a long sermon and a hostage situation are very similar things, but just hang in there. I think this is important, and we're going to just talk about the beginning. Where did evil come from? I mean, in the first place. I know a lot of it dwells within us. We don't like it, or at least we don't like to admit it. But who or what put these evil desires in us in the first place? We've all heard the classic explanation, Satan, the fallen angel, or Adam, the fallen man. Do these explanations make sense to you? If Adam and Eve were created in perfect fellowship with God, why would they want to rebel? And how could God create them with the potential flaw to rebel and then blame them and punish them for rebelling? If that's what happens, it seems to me God is ultimately responsible for creating evil. If you put the origin of evil on Satan, the fallen angel, you still have the same problem. How can an angel created by God try to take over heaven unless God created him with that evil potential? And what about God's foreknowledge? If God could foresee that God's creatures were going to become so evil, why did God go ahead with creation? At least we ask, why did God create them that way? We're really struggling here with the fairness of God. How could God ever blame us for having a sinful condition we did not create and we cannot cure? I believe it is good to ask these questions. Do not shy ever from asking the unaskable. In Lent, of all times, it's the church-appointed time to go deep, to ask these sorts of questions. A religion that cannot withstand the application of intellect and human reason is useless. For an honest person to live with lies and half-truths, even fairy tales, it hurts, especially when it comes to our belief, our religion, our faith system. So, these questions about the origin of evil, this is more than some egg-headed esoteric debate. Because we all know that evil exists within ourselves and within others. Just watch the nightly news. So I'll begin by throwing the first grenade over the wall. God is ultimately responsible for the origin of evil. Notice I did not say God is evil or God made evil. I said that evil's existence is God's responsibility. But before I explain how God is responsible, let's define evil. What is evil? And how we answer this is crucial. There are two kinds of evil, what we call natural evil, that's earthquakes, hurricanes, disease. And then there is human evil. We also call that moral evil. So I'd like to focus on this second sort of evil today, moral evil. The best way to define moral evil is to define its counterpart, moral goodness. Biblically speaking, what does it mean to be good and to do good? From the Bible's viewpoint, moral goodness depends entirely upon a person's relationship with God. To be good is to be aware of God as goodness and to love and to entrust God with all your will. To accept gladly your status as a finite creature, a creature loved and created by a gracious God. To be good is to know and to love and to trust God on an intimate basis. Our congregational mission statement, that is an invitation to moral goodness. Love God, love others, serve. Doing good comes from being good. Doing good comes from being good. When you're in personal union with God, in a right relationship with God, you have no need to be the center of the world. You have no need to protect yourself and your concerns or to fight others, to be grasping, greedy, and fearful. A living personal awareness, this kind of relationship with God as the loving creator, excludes cruelty and the need for power over others. Now, moral evil is the opposite of what I just described. Goodness is defined by a right relationship with God. Evil is also defined by our relationship with God. Evil actions are the result of a broken relationship with God when we forget that creaturely feeling, that connectedness. So you see, this is all relational. We can understand this because it's relational. Back to Genesis, to the Garden of Eden and the serpent and the fall. For beings to be in paradise and then choose not to be in paradise, that's illogical, unless God created them with that potential, the potential to rebel, that is to break relationship, to break fellowship with God. So God is responsible for creating a being who could choose evil and do evil and violate that personal relationship with God. So the issue ultimately is one of choice, of free will. So let's summarize. Evil, in human terms, moral evil, is always relational. To be evil is to be out of relationship with God. To do evil is to violate the love of God. God created humans with the potential to break relationships, even that relationship with God. So God is ultimately responsible for moral evil. Next question. Did God know what humans would do before God created them? Did God foreknow what would happen to God's world? Not if humans were created truly free to choose whether to love or not love God. And this goes against what most of us think, that God is all-knowing. But to create a free creature, God would have to take the risk that the creature could and would reject God. So we're talking about having faith in God, but God had faith in us. God could not know what the creature would do until after the creature came into being. God chose to limit God's self for a purpose that God deemed higher, and that purpose is love. Otherwise, it is predestination, that we were created predestined to sin, and there was no choice on our behalf. We Lutherans do not believe in predestination, that we had no choice. Otherwise, we would have been puppets, and God would set us up to fail. Even our confirmation students can see this when we study the account of the fall. No, we had a choice, and we still do. So hear me out now. I believe that God thought it better to create a world where evil was a realistic possibility so that the higher possibility of uncompelled love between God and humans could occur. It was better to create the world as it is than to create one where real love could truly never happen. There can be no love without free choice. And God was willing to even risk the evolution of evil for the sake of love. We have a God-given choice. This is not unfamiliar to us. We do this constantly in our everyday lives. Love is always a risk. To love another person is to give them the power to hurt you. They can enrich us or they can crush us. There can be no love without the potential of evil if you define evil as breaking, betraying a relationship. So our first question is about the origin of evil. Moral evil or human evil came from God's choice to make beings who had the freedom to either embrace or reject God's love. This is what happens, and this is what still happens. Now, if God is ultimately responsible for evil, how can God hold us accountable for having a condition that we did not create, that we inherited? Actually, I do not think God holds us accountable for having the condition, but I do think God holds us accountable for what we do with it. Adam and Eve, they were not some infants, some innocents. They are every woman, every man. We are Adam and Eve. So like them, how do we align with the ways of God? Do we rebel or do we align with God? This is our human condition. We're not responsible for inheriting it, what we call original sin, but we are responsible for what we do with it once we discover that there is an alternative. And that alternative is to trust and to depend and to love God. That's our only way out of this mess. In other words, do we proliferate evil in ourselves and all around us, or do we allow God to enter the core of our being and begin this lifelong work of turning us into a positive force, to live with that very simple defining mission to love God, love others, serve. Do we allow evil to thrive, or do we work with God to reverse evil, to transform it? This is our responsibility. And here's the kicker. We have a huge advantage over Adam and Eve. We know Jesus. The New Testament claims that God became a human being, and that human, Jesus, is the embodiment of goodness. Jesus is the complete opposite of evil. He lived fully and confidently in a right relationship with God. He trusted God with a vivid awareness that God was gracious and loving. Therefore, Jesus was totally free, totally obedient, free from greed, free from fear, free from grasping, free from sin. Living this way in a world-worshiping environment, Jesus, of course, brought forth the worst in human nature's responses, and he was executed because of that. But his death revealed the very best of God's nature. For God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection is our proof that God will ultimately turn all the wrongs that God risked creating into rights. So it is Lent. This Lent, I hope you see that the crucifixion has to be understood as God's taking upon God's self total responsibility for making the kind of world that God did, that God will eventually turn all evil into good. I believe that evil is a result of God's decision to make a world where authentic love could truly exist between God and God's people. Satan did not invent evil. If so, then evil was invented by a creature who was created by God with the tools to create evil. No, God took on the responsibility for this risk gone wrong by continuing to try to reestablish right relationship with God's people. This is what the Bible is all about. The Bible is one big record of God's attempts to redeem God's creation. God's efforts culminated in Jesus. God even became one of us. Evil no longer binds us. We can now use love as the power to reverse evil in ourselves and in the world. Or we could continue to use love as a tool for exploitation. There's a sucker for love born at every minute. That choice to use love either to grow closer to God or to control others, that depends upon our relationship with God. Only God can cure the world's problems. Only God. Our help is in the name of God, who will deliver us from evil. Amen.